Welcome to the Portage County Safety Council podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's safety chat.
Hi, it's Mike with the Portage County Safety Council. I'm here with Rick Mage from the Ohio BWC. Welcome, Rick.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Good to be here.
It's good to have you. Rick, can you go ahead and start off by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do for the BWC?
Sure. I'm an industrial hygienist, and I work out of the Canton Service Office. And as an industrial hygienist, we're concerned with health hazards in the workplace. So I go around and evaluate employee exposures to air contaminants and noise.
Awesome. So you just got done presenting to us. Good job today, by the way, at our safety luncheon for April. You spoke today about OSHA, the new silica standard. Can you give us like a 30,000 foot overview of what's going on in the world?
OSHA recently implemented a new respiratory crystalline silica standard for both industry and construction. It's currently effective for construction and will become effective for industry in June of this year. The requirements are that employers, if they have exposures to silica, must evaluate their employees' exposure to the dust and based on that evaluation, implement certain methods of controlling those hazards.
Sure. What is OSHA really concerned about? What are the health hazards that come as a result of being exposed to too much silica?
Crystalline silica is the most common mineral on the Earth's crust. It estimated it makes up about 12% of the Earth's crust. So it's found in soil, rock, all around us, and it's in many materials. Basically, what happens is we have rocks, we crush them up, we grind them, we cut them, and it produces very fine particulates of silica dust. And that silica dust can get down deep in our lungs and cause lung damage, such as silicosis, which is a scarring of the lung tissue.
So I'm assuming this is going to be primarily, it could go across many industries. When we're talking construction, it's going to be a high-risk injury. Mason work, right? What other types of industries or work do you see that big exposure risk?
Yes, there's exposures both in construction and manufacturing. Like I said, they grind the dust up, the rocks up, and they put it in other materials as fillers and such, so that there's exposures, foundries and industry, abrasive blasting operations. Silica is found in paints and caulk, mortar and grout, things like that. For construction, any road work, drilling, mining type operations, all have exposures to crystalline silica.
Oh, wow. So across the board, this is way more, we're exposed to this way more than we might think.
Exactly. OSHA estimates there's 2.3 million workers that will be exposed to silica dust.
Wow, 2.3.
Yes, quite a few.
Wow, that's pretty significant. Yes. Okay, so if I'm an employer and I want to adhere to this standard, what are some things I could do to kind of control exposure for my employees?
Well, the best thing is engineering controls, but the really good thing would be substitution. If you can get rid of it, that would be the best thing. So maybe there's a substitute filler product that you can utilize rather than crystalline silica. But in most cases, you're not going to be able to eliminate the hazard because it's in the concrete dust, it's in the roads, it's all around us. So then you have to control it through engineering means. Two best methods are using wet methods, where you have a continuous supply of water on whatever tool you might be using, such as a saw.
A wet saw kind of thing?
Correct. A wet saw, and then maybe even a ventilation system on the saw or the drilling apparatus or grinding apparatus, whatever it might be.
Okay, you did mention earlier, you gave us an example of a company that switched out a different chemical. Can you give that example again?
It was a company that manufactures silicone rubber type products, and they use crystalline silica as an ingredient in their process, and they mixed it and they had bags of it that they dumped and created quite significant silica exposures. Well, they did research, found an alternative that did not contain silica. So they eliminated the hazard. They don't have to meet the new requirements of the OSHA standard.
So what about those places where we can't find a substitute? And, especially in this transition time, we're not there. Maybe we don't have the wet saws. What are some other things? Some people might ask, what about respirators? Correct. How effective is that going to be keeping us from being exposed?
Well, respirators are allowed for protection, but they should never be used alone. OSHA recommends or requires that you use a hierarchy of controls, which would be engineering controls first, like the ventilation or wet methods, then administrative controls like work practices, and then your last line of defense is a respirator. And a half-mask respirator, like your typical disposable N95s, fitted properly, will provide protection from silica dust.
All right, Rick. So at the end of today's luncheon, you had a couple questions. One of them I want to hit on here is a lady asked, who's regulating this? What kind of standards? She said she sees construction sites all the time where this is not being dealt with. She sees the cloud of dust and these different things. What was your answer? You had a great answer with a big smile, friendly smile. What was your answer? What are the consequences of and who's responsible? responsibility does it fall on to make sure these measures are being...
Enforcement of it is done by OSHA. They are the enforcement agency that will issue fines and penalties for people who aren't following the standards. But it's ultimately the employer's responsibility to comply with the standard. It's up to them to implement the controls and the programs that are required by OSHA.
It may appear as though it's not being enforced, but it's really coming down to the employers whether or not they're going to be compliant. So if you're not compliant, again, you said construction is already there, we're already in the process of that. So if you're a construction company listening today, if you're not doing and taking the measures yet, you're setting yourself up for potential serious fines. I think the minimum OSHA fine is just over $12,000 now, right?
Correct. And you're absolutely right. There is some resources OSHA has on their website, OSHA.gov, a section on silica, and they have published a very helpful guide called the Small Entity Guide for Construction dealing with the new silica standard. I'd recommend, as small employers probably don't have the resources to hire a safety professional, that you read that guide, because it kind of interprets what OSHA is going to be looking for if they do come out to your facility. So you'll know how to comply and do the written requirements of the program.
So a lot of friends might say, you know, a lot of our friends listening that have construction companies, well, we're small, we're just a family-owned business. OSHA's not concerned about us. What kind of advice or what would you say to that person listening right now?
Well, you're really only one bad day away from an OSHA visit. If you have a serious injury, or hopefully never a fatality, OSHA's definitely going to come to your work site or your facility. Or if you get an employee complaint, there's a good likelihood that OSHA could visit you.
So, Rick, that was good advice that the information from OSHA is available publicly. But you, from the Bureau of Workers' Compensation, you guys have services that are at no charge as well. Can you elaborate on that and what you guys could do to help our member employers?
At the BWC, we have safety consultants and industrial hygienists who can come out to your facility and help you and assist you with complying with these OSHA standards. We don't write the standards ourselves, but we provide the assistance that you might need and the guidance to develop your own program. I'm an industrial hygienist, so I can do the air monitoring for the silica hazard, at least your initial assessment to see where you stand and what levels of protection your employees might need.
And again, that's a free service. And I do want to clarify for our listeners, there's a lot of fear that they don't want to call BWC in because they're afraid of getting fined. Rick, is that the case?
We're completely independent of federal OSHA. We're a state agency funded by the Bureau of Workers' Comp. Our funding comes from premiums paid in by employers, and it's a prepaid service, so there's no additional cost.
So they work for you. They're not going to come in and find you. That's a fear that any government agency might come in, might do some things. We're going to get in trouble. So the BWC is on your side. You're not going to get fined. In fact, they'll partner with you so you don't ultimately get fined by OSHA.
Yes.
So any final thoughts, Rick?
Keep in mind, for general industry, the compliance date for the silica standards in June of this year. So you need to get on board. They also have a small entity guide that you can read for general industry. And I'd recommend, if you haven't already, review that document. It'll be very helpful for you.
All right, Rick, thanks so much for joining us. Hope to see you back soon.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. To learn more about how your company can earn up to a 4% Ohio BWC premium rebate by becoming an active member of the Portage County Safety Council, please visit our website at www.portagecountysafetycouncil.wordpress.com. The preceding information is for entertainment purposes only. Views expressed may not reflect the views of any affiliated or sponsoring individuals or organizations. Listeners should carefully weigh information provided and seek advice from an appropriate professional before implementing. Listener discretion is advised.